News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Soundbites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Bray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 31st of January, Anno Domini 2004. And you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we're going to be taking your calls, and we're going to be talking about some cool stuff, and we're going to start with the news, and I think we'll probably start with Dave today, because he looks so eager to begin.
Yeah, well, you gave me one story, but the other one that I wanted to get on is that new virus that's going around right now, that Bill Gates is literally offering $250,000.
That
goes around every now and then.
The My Doom virus originally targeted SEO, the people who are suing everybody for Linux.
Mm-hmm.
So they offered $250,000 for the author. Now there's a My Doom B, and Microsoft is offering $250,000. I think next SEO is going to sue Microsoft.
Could be.
For stealing their...
But literally, if you could, these hackers that want to do it and want to make a quick $250,000 to be able to...
Write the virus and turn yourself in?
Yeah. No, most of them, it'd be $250,000. The other interesting thing I found, and this happens to be the time of year where everybody's filling out their tax. And now the government, especially New York State, and I'd like to know how many folks are actually going to do it, is put down, declare how much tax you are, purchases that you bought over the internet, and pay the tax on those.
You're supposed to have done that all along.
And yeah,
never
right.
Does. We have big fights
about
that.
And it's 90 degrees outside right now, too.
So we have a lot of arguments about that with our customers. Well, if I buy a mail order, I don't have to pay the taxes. Yes, you do. They just don't collect it for you.
Yeah.
But you still have to pay them.
Yeah, and this thought, the government thinking that, they're going to be able to actually collect on that, isn't going to happen. So, it's just a waste of time and effort.
Yeah, every now and then the states get together and see the billions of dollars they're losing and want to pass a federal tax to carry it.
But, it's just one of these things where, like one hand clapping is my scenario of even trying to stop all the junk mail and spam and everything else because the government says, oh, we're going to pass legislation. Well, most of it comes from offshore folks, and they can't do a hill of beans to stop it.
That was another thing the government did this week trying to help. They're going to start a federal virus warning email system. So when a virus comes out, the government will warn you.
Yeah, right.
Well, how many people are going to get suckered in by fake warnings now?
Right.
And Symantec and McAfee and Sophos and the virus antivirus companies already do that.
Right. And
are they going to add colors to the rainbow, taste the rainbow? We're going to have there's a new virus. So it's cerise this week or fuchsia, or mauve.
Or the hackers will do, just like a lot of the other hackers have done, is copy, say, this government official email to make it look official and wind up hacking into them and getting the virus.
And there's enough hoaxes going around the internet already. We don't need more.
Yeah, exactly.
There are some email lists you can get on, BugTrack and a couple of security lists and things like that.
Yeah, the CIAC, Computer Incident Advisory Council, does this.
So you can go to their website, which you go to, and you'll see them all the time. So it's unnecessary, and in fact, $50 says they're never first. You'll have heard about it through six other places before you hear it.
And I'm going to get six hoaxes before I get my first legitimate one from them.
Yep. All right, what's going on in the... in the Macintosh world?
Well, we had an interesting admission from Apple this week. They are creating the iBook Logic Board Repair Extension Program. A repair extension basically is to affect repairs to machines that are no longer under warranty because of an unidentified component failure. And in this case, it affects iBook models that were manufactured between May 2002 and April 2003 that are experiencing specific failures, including scrambled or distorted video, appearance of unexpected lines on the screen, intermittent video image, the video freezes, or the computer starts up blank. And Apple has a website on their webpage, which will be on our fact list shortly, with a list of serial numbers. And if your iBook is in this range of serial numbers, you can get a free logic board repair from Apple. It covers five different models of iBook manufactured between that those two dates, May 2002 and April 2003. And then Apple, in jumping on the Super Bowl frenzy, actually, we can't say that. Registered trademark of NFL properties.
Super Bowl is?
That's been in the news for the last couple of months, that none of the radio stations and TV stations can use the word Super Bowl because it is a registered trademark of NFL, and you have to pay them to use their trademark. So most of the ads are calling it the big game. And
we're airing it, so I think we can.
Maybe. Is CBS running the game itself?
Hold on. All right, we own the copyright on Soundbites.
Right.
Does that mean anybody who says, you know what, there's this great radio show, you guys should listen to it, it's called Soundbites, owes us a dollar?
Sue them.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the point of having a name if you don't want people to use it?
Well, you want them to pay you to use it. So all these bars that are offering Super Bowl parties should be paying the NFL for using the name. So it's been this huge mess. But
all of you out there, and I'm sure there are thousands, out there holding Soundbites parties every Saturday, you know, where you get together and you have, like, there are drinking games based on Soundbites, by the way. I don't know if you knew that. Getting together and I don't know who's drinking that heavily at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, but call me next time. please, feel free to use our name. Yeah. Feel free to use Soundbites. Soundbites is an okay thing for you to say.
Yeah. So Apple is getting into the Super Bowl frenzy, along with PepsiCo, who are going to be releasing 300 million bottles, specially marked products, and one in three is going to be a winner of a free iTunes song. So 100 million free songs are being given away starting tomorrow.
And we hear a song underneath us, which is free for you to listen to. For the moment, it will take me to say, we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and Mina Francesco on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
So you're throwing a party to watch the big game. Millions of people like you will do the same, and millions more won't. In fact, while you're taking in the sights and sounds of America's biggest game, over 35 million Americans will go hungry. Help local youth groups tackle this problem. On Super Bowl Sunday, give to the Super Bowl of Caring. Call 800-358-SOUP. That's 800-358-SOUP. This year, make the first down for someone else. A message from Clear Channel Worldwide. Clear Channel cares.
Right now, Red Lobster presents Endless Shrimp. Endless oohing and aahing, endless fork twirling, endless eating with your fingers. We also present endless sauce dipping, and come to think of it, endless refills. During Red Lobster's Endless Shrimp, enjoy all the plump, mouth-watering shrimp scampi, freshly breaded shrimp, popcorn shrimp, and shrimp pasta you can eat. And while it is endless, it's only until February 8th, now at Red Lobster.
Have you seen that new plastic coffee container? Did you know it actually absorbs aroma from the coffee? At Maxwell House, we think the aroma should stay where it belongs. In the coffee, not the container. Our steel can won't absorb our rich coffee aroma, and unlike plastic, it's a perfect barrier against coffee's worst enemies, moisture and oxygen. So choose Maxwell House with the fresh steel can, and make every day good to the last drop.
Soundbites, America's longest-running computer radio show, is brought to you by the Element K Learning Center, MicroWorks Direct Computer, Roadrunner Business Class, and Greenfield Computer Services. 50,000 watts. I wonder how many gigabytes that would translate to. Welcome back to Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. I'm trying to see if we're actually doing anything here. I think we are.
a new concept to Soundbite.
No, we don't have any new concepts yet. We'll talk about new concepts some other day, but I think everything seems to be working the way I expect it to work. I've got a little news of my own here first. Interesting little problem. There's the. I hope you're all sitting down. If you're driving, please try not to be too shocked by this. There's a new security hole in Internet Explorer.
Oh, my goodness.
This one's really serious, however. Serious. Internet Explorer 6 users and possibly users of any earlier versions could be fooled into downloading what look like safe files but are in fact whatever the author wants them to be, including executable. Here's basically the deal. It looks like you're downloading a text file or a PDF file or something else, and there's no way you can tell it's not one of those until it runs on your system.
There's been one similar to that in the past where you'll get document.doc.exe,
no,
and Windows hides that last .exe file.
In this, even if you expose all of that,
that's even nastier.
You can't see it, right.
Well, I get people, some of our customers, suckered in by the ads that pop up. Now, your computer isn't safe. Click here.
Yeah.
And, you know, install our unsafe program, too.
Exactly. What's worse about that is that this hole could be combined with another Explorer spoofing problem that was discovered in December, which lets Explorer users think they're visiting one site where, in fact, they're going somewhere else. Now, the problem with this one is Microsoft failed to include a fix for that problem in their January patch list. This lead is leading some experts to believe it cannot be patched. So here's the if the same is true for the spoofing issue, then here's the deal. Somebody who is going to think they're visiting one website and downloading one file, but in fact they're visiting a different website and downloading a completely different file, which can wreak havoc with people's stuff. Now, I hasten to remind you this is only an Internet Explorer problem. Those of you using Mozilla or Firebird,
or anything
else, Camino, or anything, Safari, anything else, are perfectly safe. It's only those of you who still insist on using Internet Explorer who are open to this problem.
And when Internet Explorer gets even more integrated into Windows, they've already announced they're ceasing development of IE as a standalone program.
Right.
It's going to be built even deeper into Windows, and I thought that's what the lawsuit was about.
Yeah, it was, but
that means you won't be able to turn it off,
yeah,
and you won't be able to not use it. It will always be there running.
Right. So for those of you who are still using Internet Explorer, you really shouldn't be, but this may be the last time you get to say no because it's going to be deeply ingrained in the operating system. In addition, of course, he is now Sir William Gates, Sir William H. Gates III. He's been knighted by the Queen of England.
He's not really knighted because he's not a British subject.
Right, he's an honorary knight for his contribution to enterprise, employment, and charities in the UK. And so that's kind of wonderful. He's now a knight of the realm.
There was another interesting story this week from IBM. The guy that invented Control-Alt-Delete retired.
Dave Bradley.
Yeah.
Retired after 20-odd years.
Dave Bradley, the man who invented
three-finger salute.
Who invented the three-finger salute, has now retired. He was quoted as saying, I didn't know it was going to be a cultural icon. I did a lot of other things than Control-Alt-Delete, but I'm famous for that one. And, of course, his fame depends on other people's failures. What's funny is that at a 20-year celebration for the PC, Bradley was on a panel with Bill Gates and other technical people. The discussion turned to those Control-Alt-Delete keys, and Bradley said, I may have invented it, but Bill made it famous.
Yeah.
Gates was not amused.
Yeah.
We are not amused.
It is.
No, Your Majesty. Down, not across. Okay, before we go to the phones, I do want to mention a very cool website that my wife actually found this week. Appliance411.com. Have you lost your manual? Do you need to know about an appliance you've got in your home?
Ooh.
Appliance411.com. It's got some pretty neat stuff in it. It's very cool stuff. And she insisted I announce that, and I figured I'd better do it before.
Yeah. Get the marriage going.
We got two. And if she doesn't hear it at the public market, she'll. I have the archive to prove I said it. Okay, we're going to go to the phone. Steve will have that up on the links in a few minutes. We're going to go to the phones now, and our first caller this week is Paul, calling all the way from Holly, New York.
Hey,
welcome,
how
Paul.
You doing?
Good. How are you?
Okay. Hey, I got a situation I'm hoping you guys can help me with. I just bought a new computer this week. I had one built by a local, one of the local vendors. Unfortunately, it came with Norton Antivirus 2003 pre-installed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, which I didn't want. So as I was going through
buying a locally built machine, so you can put what you want on it.
Okay. You want
Sorry.
It?
Go ahead.
Well, I thought I told the guy not to install it, but he may not have understood me. But at any rate,
mm-hmm.
I was going to uninstall it, so you know I went in the control panel and had remove programs, et cetera, and uninstalled it, rebooted the computer, and it blew away all my network settings. In other words, I couldn't connect to the internet. I'm on Roadrunner. I couldn't connect to anything. So I went in, typed a command,
mm-hmm.
type IP config, and it shows my IP address is 000.
Have you done a reset on your router or your...
I tried that.
Was this just Norton Antivirus or also Norton Internet Security?
It was, as far as I know, it was just Norton Antivirus.
Well, that has nothing to do with your internet service.
Yeah.
Well,
the only thing it might do is put a trap in your email program.
Yeah, it usually traps your email.
But it shouldn't do anything to the internet
service.
But
if it was, in fact, the whole suite.
Right.
No, it wasn't. It was just Norton Antivirus, the only thing I can find on a computer. And so anyway, I thought, so I went and I did the restore point, brought it back to the place where it was before I uninstalled, and everything was fine again. So I was thinking, well, maybe it's just a little glitch. And the next day I tried it again, and the same damn thing happened. I uninstalled Norton Antivirus, and it blows away my network connection.
Well, have you gone into your network control panel and reconfigured your connection?
No, what I did is just I imaged my drive, so I just restored.
Tell you what, wasting all your time, and you just bought this brand new computer.
Yeah.
Take it back to that company and tell them, please remove it.
Oh, okay. Well,
you're wasting your valuable time. You know, leave it on for right now. Take it back to them, and it should only take them a short time to remove it.
On is this, and I know this happened in 2002. I didn't know it happened in 2003.
Yeah.
Basically, what happens is there's an entry, actually two entries in the registry.
Yeah.
That forces Windows to wait for a certain file to load before it goes and gets an IP address.
Oh.
Unfortunately, when you uninstall Nav, the uninstaller removes the file but leaves the entry.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So your computer will never obtain an IP address.
Huh.
So there are two registry entries that need to be changed, and really, you shouldn't have to do this.
We don't recommend people do that.
Your vendor, the person who put the machine together, should do this for you as part of their...
They'll know how to do that.
If they don't know how to do it, they'll know how to do it.
Yeah.
I was going to try to manually install, just go in the registry and remove all the Symantec keys, the Norton keys, and then blow away the...
Well, if you're comfortable... Well,
it'd be safer going to Symantec's website than finding the manual uninstalled.
Well, you've got version 203?
203, yeah.
There is, if you go to Symantec's website, there's it's called NAV, NAV 203.
Yeah.
It's a utility that will totally remove Norton from your machine.
Okay.
So you got to go to the utilities. They have a remove utility because there was a number of issues with 202 and 203. Matter of fact, 204 isn't much better. On most XP machines now, I find we go to install it and it won't run.
Mm-hmm.
Gives you a bunch of errors. They tell you, you've got to go to a website and you got to do a lot of these fixes, which is about four or five updates. So it's reboot, go back, update, reboot.
There's also the RNAV 2003 XE utility.
I downloaded the
instructions how to do that.
It's called RNAV. Matter of fact, we'll put a link onto our website.
RNAV 2003.exe.
You download that, you put it on your desktop, you run it, it'll say, you sure you want to do this? And you just say yes, and it will just read the instructions, and it will totally remove from the registry and every place else Norton 2003.
Okay, and that should not then interfere with that network setting again.
The theory is it'll remove those two files.
Oh.
The two registry entries.
Yeah.
That's the theory. But otherwise, bring it back to your vendor and tell them, look, you installed something I didn't want.
Yeah.
Make it right.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okie doke.
Thanks, guys.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. It's an interesting problem, isn't it, when, you know, they give you a little value add there, which is a nice thing.
Yeah, it's usually a six-month promo,
yep.
3 months promo.
On the one hand, that's nice.
Yeah.
On the other hand, that's not so good. I believe that music is a subtle clue that we're taking a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and Nina Francesco on the most magnificent computer show you'll ever hear. Soundbites on 1180 WHTF.
When the weather in Rochester turns bad, Rochesterians turn to News Radio 1180 WHAM for the most dependable forecast in the city. WHAM's team of meteorologists include both Kevin Williams and Glenn Johnson, so you can be sure of an accurate forecast. Plus, schools and businesses aren't really closed unless you hear it on WHAM. When the weather turns bad, you should turn to Rochester's winter weather station. News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome to Watch World. Can I help you?
Yeah, is this watch waterproof?
Yep, to 48,000 meters.
Really?
No, not really. I kind of made that up.
You don't know if it's waterproof?
Not a clue.
Can you tell me anything about this watch?
It's shiny.
What kind of sales guy are you?
Well, until yesterday, the kind that wore a pointy hat and sold French fries.
Want the real lowdown on your favorite products? Go to PriceGrabber.com. In seconds, you're comparing tons of information on brands, features, and prices. And at PriceGrabber, you'll find thousands of merchants offering millions of top-name items.
So you know nothing about watches?
Not a thing.
And you totally make up your answers?
Totally.
In that case, I'll take this watch.
Really?
No, not really.
PriceGrabber.com. Comparison shopping beyond compare.
Tired of traffic jams and crowded malls? Check out PriceGrabber.com, where you can find top name brands from thousands of merchants, all from the convenience of your own computer.
Soundbite, powered by Patrick GMC.
Clear Channel Radio presents Family Skate Night at the ESL Sports Center this Friday and Saturday night from 7 till 9 p.m. It's time to lace up the blades and carve your figure eights into the ice surface at the ESL Sports Center this Friday and Saturday night. You can enjoy a great winter sport without having to bear the outdoor temperatures. The ESL Sports Center has created a special family package just for you. A family of four can skate from 7 till 9 p.m. with skate rentals for just $18. It's healthy, it's fun, it's ice skating this Friday and Saturday night at the ESL Sports Center. Call 424-GOAL for more details or log on to ESLSportsCenter.com. Don't let winter pass you by while sitting in front of a TV. Get the family out for some fun this Friday and Saturday night from 7 till 9 p.m. at the ESL Sports Center. The family package is just $18 for four with skate rental. Adult price also available for $5 and skate rental is $3. Family Skate Night at ESL Sports Center. Friday and Saturday night from 7 till 9 p.m. from Clear Channel Radio.
Closing in on 10 consecutive years of broadcasting, it's the Brenna and Brenna Law Forum this Sunday morning at 8 on 1180 WHAM.
This is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. From PCs to Macs, these guys can help with any computer question you may have. So call the boys now at 222-1180, the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton. And this is Soundbite. Well, now I know it's Soundbites. It was just, I don't know where I was for a moment, but apparently I was just far enough ahead of myself that I was beyond clueless. Normally I'm just clueless. I was beyond clueless into, our next caller is David, calling all the way from Rochester, New York. David, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
You guys ever heard of proxy desktop?
Proxy desktop?
Yep.
No.
A running Windows 2000 on a clone IBM Pentium 3 that I got from Jeff Least over at MicroWorks.
Uh-huh.
And every once in a while, everything will more or less lock up. I can't open anything new. And it typically will happen on Windows Explorer. When that happens, I log off, and something called Proxy Desktop tells me it's shutting down, and then it can't finish, so I've got to close it manually and start up again, and it's fine. And, in fact, I've tried a couple of times, instead of shutting down, just logging off. When I log off, all of a sudden, I'll see all of the things I tried to open that wouldn't open spin by.
Yep.
And the course is shutting down. I've been through the Microsoft helpline and had a long dialogue going. They kept trying to say it was virus stuff. I shut down everything I possibly could. It still kept happening. And finally, they stopped answering me.
Yeah, yes, I'm sure they did. What caused you to install desktop proxy? I mean,
never installed desktop proxy. It showed up all by itself.
Have you installed a program called Desktop Server 4?
Nope. Not to my knowledge.
Interesting.
Is that something I can go look for and uninstall if it's there?
I've never even had it, but
me neither.
Interesting. Desktop proxy appears to be a program involved in bulk emailing. Is your antivirus software up to date?
Yes. Right.
You're running Adaware?
Pardon?
You're running
Adaware? I've run Adaware. I've run your Trio on fairly frequent occasions. That doesn't do anything to help.
Is there
interesting? I would certainly search to see if I can uninstall it.
I can't find any indication. Now, what you said is desktop?
Desktop server 4. Or desktop server, anyway. Who cares what the number is?
Okay, let's look in control panel.
Are you familiar working in the registry?
Pardon?
Have you worked in the registry at all?
I have. I try and avoid it at all costs.
Yeah. What you might want to do is under, local machine, software.
You want me to look in the add remove programs first and see if there's any
you can
kind of
do
test?
There, but then what you can also do, because if it's hidden.
MS config. See if it's
MS config doesn't work in 2000.
Oh, 2000, right.
You got to go into registry, go into under local machine.
Yep.
You go into software, Windows, and you work your way down to current settings. And then there's a run. You'll see it where it says run.
Mm-hmm.
In there, it tells you all the things to get started at startup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this.
And in there, you can see if that proxy server is being loaded in there, and just delete that key.
The desktop server program is. It looks like it's designed to masquerade and block your identity from the internet, so that you get out to the internet to do naughty things without anyone tracing.
Never.
Well, the question that we're wondering is, where did you get it?
That's what I don't know.
And it clearly got installed with something else.
Yep.
I don't see anything at the desktop proxy website, desktopproxy.com, for getting rid of it. Certainly what's happening is it seems to be blocking other programs from starting.
Yeah, like right now, it apparently has started. And I never can tell when it's going to start and when it doesn't because it's blocked add remove program, believe it or not.
Boot into safe mode.
Boot into safe mode. That's your problem. Do it that way. Boot into safe mode.
Yep.
And run add remove programs from there. The other thing you can do since you're in 2000 is use that F8 key go into safe mode from there.
Mm-hmm.
I was about to say load last known good configuration, which might or might not work. But
no, I doubt it'll work.
Safe mode.
I've been fighting this for 6 months.
Safe mode should do it. And from safe mode, you should now be able to open the control panel.
Well, if I reboot, I'll be able to open the control panel.
For a while.
And I just never know when the proxy desktop's going to kick in or not.
Well, I would suggest that you try that. The other thing I might suggest you do is unplug yourself from the internet until you get this thing uninstalled. Because I'm not happy with what it's probably doing.
Do you have Kazaa installed, or have you ever had Kazaa installed?
No. And by the way, I'm running through a Linksys router, so I've got a firewall.
Mm-hmm. I don't know where it came from, but I'm telling you right now, it's for bulk emailers. It's an IP hider. It's not. I wouldn't trust it on my machine if I were you.
Now you think that I can find it under desktop.
Desktop Server is a program that installs this proxying thing to prevent you from getting identified on the internet.
Okay.
So it might be under that.
But I don't know where you would have gotten it. But really, what it's unimportant where you got it. What's important?
That's right. I want to get rid of it.
So my suggestion is, our suggestion is to boot into safe mode and try it there. Okay.
Okay.
Let us know
if
this is an ugly piece of software. From
this is ugly, and it's driving me nuts. Is there, now, I talked to Jeff Least, and he didn't have anybody that was aware of how to get at this. Who would you recommend that might be able to help me if I have to go somewhere?
Well, either of the gentlemen, or actually either of the individuals.
Thank you.
To my left, either Dave Enright at Enright PC Management or Steve Ray at the Jesse Group would be perfectly capable of screwing up your machine as badly as it already... I mean, as fixing it and removing the desktop proxy software.
And there's also tech support phone numbers for the desktop server program and the desktop proxy program that they might be able to tell you how it got installed and how to uninstall it.
Okay, desktop server and desktop proxy.
At desktopproxy.com.
And desktop-server.com.
And is desktop-proxy or all one word?
All one word for proxy, hyphen for server.
Okay.
And their fact list is, I've got a broken link. For one of those facts is probably, how do I uninstall it?
Exactly. Okie doke.
Okay, I thank you very much. Let me try those and see where we go from there.
Please.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, David. I have to say that's very disturbing to me. That's looking at that software. It's clearly a piece of software not designed.
They've got testimonials on their website. Yesterday, I sent out 2,000 emails. Today, I've got 19 new clients. And 1,880
really porked off
other people, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And what's going to happen is, you know what they say, if you like something, you'll tell two people. If you hate it, you'll tell 10.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do the math. How did he win? All right, we're going to go to our next caller now. It's Howard from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Howard. What's your question?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Trying to stay awake until you guys with the gray matter came on.
Sure.
I've been caught in a loop since 6 o'clock last night. I sound a little like the first caller. What happened was I got a notebook computer, and I wanted to set up this wireless network.
Yeah.
Because I am recuperating from surgery on two knees. Anywho, I put it together. With Roadrunner, I have on that modem correctly, and I get a signal. It says it's strong. However, I can't get out of the loop. I mean, I can't get out of the loop into the.
What OS are you running?
Pardon me?
What operating system?
XP.
So
okay, so you get a signal, right. But are you getting an address?
Yes.
When you type winipconfig. What numbers come up?
192.something else.
192.168.0.something.
Right. And I talked to Gateway. They said it wasn't their problem. I talked to Lennox. I was on the phone waiting 2 hours.
Now, do you have another machine that get to the network?
Yeah, my desktop is A-OK.
Okay, what you might have to do, excuse me.
Oh, whoa.
There's a WinIP.
Let me back up a step.
Yeah.
This wireless router.
Yes.
Is it plugged into your regular router? Or is this the only router you have?
This is the only router because I've got my desktop off. I don't even, I can't use it because I can't get out there, really.
No, that wasn't what I asked. You've got cable modem or whatever, right?
It's connected to the cable modem, and then it's all connected to the desktop.
And I'm sorry, I got to go back because I don't want to hear it's. I need to hear words. You've got your cable modem.
Right.
Connected to that is your wireless router directly.
Yes.
With nothing in between.
Correct.
Okay, sorry, now go ahead.
All right, what you might want to do is on the other machine, go to our, I heard this website on your show. Windows has a fix for the IP. Sometimes that can get messed up. It's called WinIP Fix. And what you might want to try doing is copy that onto a disk, put it onto your laptop, and run that program, restart it, and see if that corrects it. We find that helps out quite often.
Is that the Microsoft website?
If you go to our website, soundbites.org,
okay,
and you scroll down a little bit, you'll see I heard this website on your show.
It now says in parentheses the weekly links because I got all these people who can't read and think, apparently.
Evidently. And you click on that, and there's an alphabetical listing on the right-hand side, and you're looking for WinIP Fix.
Okay.
Download that, put it onto a floppy, put it on your laptop, run that, and see if that doesn't correct the issue.
I have to add one more thing, because this is like the guy from last week.
Yep.
I've got a loaded Norton security guard on that thing.
Turn that off and see what happens.
Turn that off first, see what happens. We have to go, Howard. I'm sorry. It's time for the news. Back in just a... Well, we're going to... Back after the news with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, all of you. Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
If it's a major event, you'll hear it on Rochester's Sports Leader, News Radio 1180 WHAM, the New England Patriots.
Not a heavy rush at all. Far sideline, short pick off, pile up. And the Patriots are headed for the Super Bowl.
The Carolina Panthers.
The improbable season for the Carolina Panthers continues. Yes, Charlotte, there is a Super Bowl, and we're in it.
The home of Super Bowl 38, News Radio 1180, WHAM. It's America's Money Show. Money Talk with Bob Brinker. Saturdays and Sundays at 4 on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Thursday morning, February 5th at 8 a.m. Experience Rochester for less with Breathe Yoga and Spa. Step into an oasis of organic bliss at Breathe, a one-of-a-kind escape sure to delight your senses. Voted number one by the Democrat and Chronicle, you can enjoy drop-in yoga, a full organic juice bar and cafe, exclusive Arcona holistic facials and skincare products, plus an unprecedented massage menu, all amidst the hippest boutique in town. Call Breathe now for Valentine's Day ideas, 248-9070, and log on to
rochester4less.com
for more details.
Rochester's official winter weather station, News Radio 1180, WHAM, Rochester, a Clear Channel radio station. Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice 1 toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Before we go back to the phones, I'm going to talk a little bit about our website at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Every week we do a poll there. Last week's poll was about the Mars rover, as you know. The Spirit rover was having a little bit of trouble with its system last week. They think, I'm delighted to say, they think they fixed most of those problems, and the Opportunity rover on the other side of Mars is ready to roll off the pad tonight.
You know, it's hard enough doing tech support, you know, around town. Can you imagine a 40-million-mile tech support call?
I was thinking about that the other day. We do long-distance tech support that really is pretty dang short distance compared to what they're doing. But we had 446 of you vote in this poll, making it the number 5 on the all-time hit list, thanks to each and every one of you. The number one winner of the Mars Rover's OS was Windows, likely ME. That was 47% of you, followed by 22% of you who said, knowing NASA's budget, it's CPM, followed by Linux, followed by Longhorn Pre-Alpha 1, on sale now, which is, of course, a joke, followed by the Mac OS. Mac OS people, apparently from the email I got, don't find it funny when we make fun of their operating system.
Now is Longhorn a joke, or is Longhorn being on sale the joke?
Being on sale.
Oh.
This week's poll is from our friend Hawaii Bob. Hawaii Bob. Were you hit by the My Doom virus? The choices are yep. Who wasn't? No, I don't think so. As opposed to definitely no. No, I don't think so. Not me, but my company was, and I run an alt OS. What's a virus? An alt OS, of course, is any operating system that isn't Windows. So far, I am delighted and thrilled to say we've had well over 100 of you vote, and so far the winner is no, I don't think so, followed by I run an alt OS. What's a virus? Keep those 111 or 111 of you, for those of us who are Tolkien fans. It's kind of sad now. You know, I've been a Tolkien fan for, what, 30, 40 years now, and now I say things like that, and everybody thinks I got it from the movie. Oh, well.
Terrible. Yeah.
It's terrible. It's terrible. To her, it's painful to be me someday. So we'd love to have you vote in the poll at soundbites.org. When you're done with that, below it, you'll see a little yellow box that will lead you to give your opinion. You can go to my website, asknick.com. That's asknick.com. And leave your opinion about the poll, about actually, in this case, my doom. So far, we've had 18 people leave comments, and actually some of them seem to actually relate to the poll itself.
All right.
So I was kind of impressed by that, as that's pretty rare here. So we'd love to have you do that. And, of course, while you're at our Soundbites website, please join us in the forums. We have online forums, and people leave messages there. And, in fact, I'd have to say a good 80% of the fun that we have at Soundbites happens in the forums. While you're there, you can also check out all the cool stuff that goes on. Our phenomenal forum tomfoolery people will add movie posters and logos and secretly recorded calls. Dave's got a tip page and a basic PC configuration page.
Which I should be updating the tip this week as soon as I get the link back from you, because my computer went south.
His computer went south yesterday. I have to say, before we go back to the phones, yesterday, I run a website called the Cobalt Club at testbox.cob.rit.edu, which is devoted to old-time radio. I used to actually serve old-time radio shows that people could download until RIT noticed I was serving 20 gigabytes of files every day. And they took exception to that. I don't know why. So at any rate, I don't do that anymore, but the forums are still up. And yesterday, of course, I came back from lunch and it was down. The hard drive was going So I had...
That's a bad noise.
That's a bad noise. That's a bad noise. So I replaced it with a Seagate drive, which makes it noise all the time. Seagates are loud drives. But I installed Debian on it, Debian Linux. It's two floppy disks for a network install. I typed in a couple of commands, and I just sat back and watched it install the operating system over the network. I then gave it one or two other little commands.
That's what you were describing to me.
I was done. I just had to sit back and watch it happen. Two floppy disks, and bang, I had an operating system on my drive. And then I obviously had to go in and configure a couple of things, and then restoring the data that I had backed up just the day before. Thank
no,
you.
Don't call your mom now, Ralph.
Taking a picture. He's got a picture phone. How are the pictures on those things? Somebody asked me that at market today, and I don't have one, so I don't know.
They're all right. I mean, they're kind of, you know, they're kind of fuzzy. They're not the best quality in the entire world.
Well, that's kind of what I figured.
I mean, you know, pretty much what they're used for is if you had a dressing room or something, you just stick it under there. Or something.
Yeah, a lot of, that's been on the news lately. A lot of gyms and even now some corporate offices are banning cell phones because of industrial espionage.
You should be talking on them like this and take a picture. You know what I mean, with the camera.
Well, they won't let them in Japan. You can't use them in locker rooms. You can't use them in any sort of health club.
Well,
you can't
the
use them
phones,
in libraries.
Right. No, they've got the video phones that are kind of a big deal there.
Right.
No, we don't yet, but still, yeah.
But they won't let them in libraries because people are taking pictures of articles in magazines and then taking them home and reading them there instead of either, you know.
Which is a copyright violation, too.
Copyright violation. So it's kind of interesting. If there is, in fact, a dark side to any force, people will find it. Back to the phone, speaking of people, but never their dark side. And we're going to talk to Ron from Webster, New York. Welcome, Ron. What's your question?
Hi, fellas. This topic comes under the heading of irritation versus problematic. All of a sudden, websites, actually just some websites, started in frames that are labeled advertisements. I will get a message that will say either action canceled or I will get the small white box with the red X in it. And I can't seem to figure out why this is happening. A number of things happen all at once, and that's, I think, what's throwing me off. I ran, you know, Stinger, Spybot, and Attaware. At the same time, that Roadrunner was changing their home page. My antivirus was expiring, so I uninstalled the Norton product, and I used that new free one from Roadrunner. So there's a bunch of things that happen at once, and I can't seem to pick out what may have caused the problem.
Yeah. Well, it's likely. Roadrunner just installed a whole bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm frankly not entirely familiar with everything they installed, but I believe one of the things they installed was were some spam, anti-spam and anti-adware filters. So if any of those ad things come through that would have downloaded something to your machine. Now, again, remember, you're only vulnerable to these things if you use Internet Explorer.
Well,
but they don't know that when you get online, so they're blocking all the ones that would cause a problem in Internet Explorer. And frankly, you don't really care. Frank, you know, the truth is, personally, I'd rather see a little white box than another ad.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's...
You know, I'm not quite sure where the problem lies here.
There is, like I say, it's not a problem, it's an irritation.
Right, and that's probably what happened.
I've tried the Avant browser. It does the same thing there.
Right, because it's not coming from the browser. It's coming from farther down the line.
Yeah, and it's only, as I mentioned, only some sites.
Right.
If you use something like Mozilla that would block pop-ups, then you shouldn't see anything in that window.
Uh-huh.
In fact, you should never see the window.
Right.
I see.
Right, so it's very likely that's what's happened. So actually what you want to do is send a little note to the folks at Roadrunner and thank them for what they've done for you. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and Meenik Francesco on your favorite and friendliest and most grateful show, Soundbites, on 1180 WHAM.
He has been hit hard and he's down.
You see them on the street every day.
He's going to need some help getting back on his feet.
The worried face without a home.
A bitter night out here.
The solemn eyes of a hungry child.
They're really feeling it.
Every day, over 1 million people are homeless, and even more go hungry. Help local youth groups tackle this problem. On Super Bowl Sunday, give to the Super Bowl of Caring. Call 800-358-SOUP, 800-358-SOUP. A message from Clear Channel Worldwide. Clear Channel cares.
Have your eyes been red and your nose stuffy since you closed up your house for winter? Since the day you closed it, your furnace has been blowing the dirt, dust mites, and dead skin cells lurking in your ducts all over your house. What are you going to do? Hold your breath all winter? Call Indoor Air Professionals now. Clean up your indoor air. Get 0% interest for 6 months. Stop breathing all that junk. Indoor Air Professionals uses the patented column duct cleaning system to razor clean your ducts. Most Western New York hospitals use Indoor Air Professionals. The U.S. Navy uses Indoor Air Professionals. In fact, all of us from the Wham Home Repair Clinic use Indoor Air Professionals, and so should you. Start the year right. Call today. Get 0% interest for 6 months and $55 off duct cleaning. Call 427-8020.
Breathe easier.
Breathe easier.
Indoor Air Professionals.
Well, everyone knows it's just been a brutal winter, and if you've got cabin fever, I have a great suggestion for you. Take a nice leisurely ride to Topping & Company at 8100 Ridge Road West. A trip to Topping & Company will provide you with an inexpensive way to change the look of any room in your house with a new area rug. It'll be worth the trip because they have the largest assortment anywhere, and they are now having a huge winter sale. Topping & Company carries all kinds of rugs, including braids, hooked, oriental, machine-made rugs. And now for a limited time, they're offering hundreds of one-of-a-kind, discontinued, and special purchase rugs at savings of 20 to 50% off the original price. Topping & Company carries brands like Kuristan, Sphinx, and many others. They also have many different sizes in stock or can special order a rug for you. So take a nice trip down to 8100 Ridge Road West and visit Topping & Company. Call for directions 637-2200.
Look, Jamaican Blue Mountain, rich Vienna roast, all my favorite coffee blends, all in one place.
I must be dreaming.
You're not dreaming. You're at Hess Express. Our mountaintop coffee shop is a coffee lover's dream. Some places don't know beans about coffee, but Hess Express is premium all the way, with a world of gourmet blends that we fresh brew every 20 minutes. That's a Hess Express guarantee.
Mmm, delicious. Who knew Hess Express had coffee this good? And these Hess Express prices, way less than that gourmet place I've been going to.
Hey, we'll even give you a free cup of our delicious mountaintop coffee. Join our Hess Express Coffee Club, buy four coffees, and get the next one free.
Free coffee. I must be dreaming.
The Mountaintop Coffee Shop at Hess Express, a coffee lover's dream. So wake up and smell the coffee, only at Hess Express. Here's another Hess Express deal you're gonna love. Get two Coke 12-packs for $6. Two Coke 12-packs, only $6. Through February 29th at participating locations.
Stone, Lincoln, Mercury delivers sound bites.
Soundbites, America's longest-running computer radio show, is brought to you by the Element K Learning Center, MicroWorks Direct Computers, Roadrunner Business Class, and Green Shield Computer Services.
Closing in on 10 consecutive years of broadcasting, it's the Brenna and Brenna Law Forum this Sunday morning at 8 on 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve.
I'm Rob Lippin. Steve seems to be absent without leave at the moment, but he'll be back in just a moment, I'm sure. In the meantime, we're going to talk to Bruce from Henrietta. Welcome, Bruce. Wondering when you were going to call.
Hi, guys. How's
Hello.
It going?
Good. How are you?
Hanging in there. I have some Mac questions for Steve, I guess.
Oh, he's back.
All right.
Okay. First one is about Nanostore. That comes on the iMac.
Yeah, it came on a lot of the early iMacs from Pangea Software.
Yeah. On it seems to work at 8.6, but not at 9.22. Is there a problem, and is there a fix for it?
I don't know offhand. I'd check with Pangea's website.
Okay, I went there, and they said they had something to help you if you had problems with, but they weren't specific. It's a Type 2 error that we're getting. And they said put this in the folder, and it didn't seem to do anything different other than launch a demo version that you need to register if you want to continue running it.
I do know they just started selling their Pangea Super Pack, a whole bunch of their best games, Chromag Rally and Automatic and Bugdom, all together for $50. So it's five separate games for $10 a piece. Nanosaur is one of their older games, and I keep hearing rumors about updating it or replacing it. There was a third-party program out called Nanosaur Extreme, which
yes.
took Nanosaur and expanded on it and added some more stuff to it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They do, let me check, they do have an update. Version 1.3.4 for the Mac is the last, the latest version of it.
This is of Extreme or the other one?
Of the regular Nanosaur.
Original, okay, the vanilla-flavored one.
Yep.
Yeah, I noticed there was two varieties, one depending on how much RAM you had on your video card.
Right, yeah, if you had the 6 megs of video RAM, then it could do better 3D shading. It was one of the very first 3D games that came out in 98, 99, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a good segue to the next question about video cards. I've seen daughter cards for the video card that comes in the G3 Blue Tower,
mm-hmm.
blue and white, that will allow you to play DVD movies.
Right, it's the MPEG-2 decoder card.
Now, the question, I heard someone tell me that Apple has restricted the playing of movies to only internal Apple drives, that if you have an external DVD ROM drive, it still will not play movies?
No, that's if you want to burn a movie. The Apple software will only work on an internal Apple SuperDrive.
Okay, but it should work for playback of movies if you have the DVD drive externally.
Right, and that drive would come with its own DVD player to be able to know how to handle the MPEG decoding.
Oh, you can't use the Apple DVD player?
It may not support a third-party drive.
Okay. So if that DVD ROM player does not come with the DVD movie player or equivalent, then it's just
you'd likely
DVD
have to download
ROM drive.
It. Yeah, likely have to download it from their website.
Okay. And by the way, I was saw something for me first. a terabyte hard drive for $1,100 on the cover of the catalog.
It's coming down in price.
Yeah, LaCie has been offering their big disc for a while. They have 500 gigabyte disc, which is actually two 250s because 300 gig is the single largest drive available now.
Uh-huh.
So they put two 250s and made a 500 gig, half a terabyte. Now they're doing four 250s. And giving you a terabyte of disk space in one box. It's not really...
Well, almost told all my old-time radio.
Yeah. It's not really RAID, but it's the concept of a RAID. They're putting four disks together and giving you one volume.
Right. Interesting.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, guys. You have a good weekend.
Thanks, Bruce. You too. Our next caller, Chris, from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Chris. What's your question?
Yes. Hi, Nick. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi. I've got a purchase question for you, a technical purchase question.
Okay.
We want to buy a new computer,
mm-hmm.
and one of the things we want to do with it is to burn CDs,
mm-hmm.
and specifically we want to burn CDs of our old LPs, and the copyright mm-hmm. issues aside, which I'm aware of because what we're doing this with are older records, which we suspect are out of copyright anyway. I'm wondering how much RAM we're going to need. Some people tell me I could probably get by with 256. Some people say I'm going to need 512.
More is better, and RAM's cheap.
Right, and RAM depends on the operating system. It doesn't really matter for burning disks.
Yeah, any new system you get nowadays is going to be Windows XP, and we say minimum for Windows XP 512.
Yeah,
gig is better.
You probably could get by with 256, mm-hmm. but you wouldn't like the performance.
Well, it'll run fine with 256. I just, I wouldn't necessarily burn CDs and do anything else.
Right, yeah, one thing at a time.
And expect everyone to be perfect.
Right.
Yeah, if you want to get into, some more significant audio editing where you're bringing up the waveforms and adding filters and effects,
right.
then you're going to want more memory.
Mm-hmm.
But a straight, record it to disk and burn it to a CD isn't going to take up very much resource.
Yeah, worried is probably too strong a word. What I'm concerned about or what gives me pause is the cost. I can probably reduce the cost somewhat at 256 rather than going with 512.
That should be
$100. $30.
I'm sorry?
$30 to upgrade it.
Well, some of the prices I've seen on the web were more than that. So.
No, most machines, if you go from 256 up to 512 is usually an average of $100.
Well, and it also depends on whether you're putting two 256s in, which is a little cheaper, or a single 512.
Mm.
Right.
Which depends on the motherboard.
Yeah, because 512K sticks right now are very much up there in price, whereas it's cheaper to go with two 256.
256 will do you okay.
It will do okay.
Yeah. Okay. I wouldn't...
You can always add it later.
You can always add more later. Make sure that they don't fill up all of the slots with your 256 Mac.
Right.
And that's really where you need to be.
Great.
We need to take another break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and Mina Francesco on your computer show, Soundbites, on 1180 WHAM.
When Rochester's movers and shakers have something to say, they say it on WHAM. From Kodak CEO Dan Karp.
Rochester will be affected pretty much in the same percentage it is of our total workforce.
The woman in charge at Xerox, Ann Mulcahy.
We can say that with a little bit of economic tailwind that we're optimistic about the future.
Powerful people on the most powerful radio station. News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Now, I'm guessing the only place you really want to be is
snuggled up by a warm fire, sipping something so soothing, wrapped in your cozy couch blanket.
Yeah, well, forget all that.
And get to Carlisle Mitsubishi in Fairport today.
Three of the most phenomenal new car deals ever available on imports.
Carlisle's priced there totally redesigned.
Totally loaded 04 Galant at just $239 a month.
And I'm telling you, you have got to see this car. It is beyond amazing.
Carlisle Mitsubishi's all-new 04 Lancers are an unheard of $179 a month.
And Carlisle's Lancers and Galants are loaded with air,
power windows,
power locks,
cruise,
tilt,
CD stereo,
remote entry, and more.
Plus,
Carlisle backs their 04s with a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty.
How's that for warm fuzzies?
And for those of you with credit worries,
remember, when others can't, Carlisle can.
$239 for Galant,
$179 for Lancers.
Want to feel all warm and fuzzy inside?
Brave the blizzard.
And get to Carlisle Mitsubishi in Fairport.
Online at CarlisleAuto.com.
Or call them at 586-8080 today.
Oh, my buyers. 6 months, 6,000 mile payment with $1,000 cash, credit equity. Stock 7817, 7809.
My friend and I saw this great opportunity, so we decided to start our own company.
Nick Laidlaw, entrepreneur, Fleet Home Link online banking customer.
Mine is in a 9-to-5 world. I'm lucky if I'm home for dinner.
Wherever, whenever he wants, Nick can control his money through Fleet Home Link.
With Fleet Home Link, it takes only a few minutes to check my balances or even transfer money, and I can pay my bills for free.
Nick isn't charged any monthly fees to pay his bills using Fleet Home Link, and our online security guarantee protects Nick's money from unauthorized transactions.
I feel totally safe with Fleet Home Link. Now I spend less time worrying about my money and more time planning my next trip.
It's one more way we're committed to helping people like Nick Laidlaw get where they want to go, today and tomorrow.
Where to next? Who knows? City? Slopes?
Log on to Fleet.com to find out how we can help you take better control of your finances. Or call 1-800-CALL-FLEET. Fleet Bank, member FDIC.
When a photo from an ordinary printer gets wet, it might sound like this.
Oh, baby, I like the way you move.
Fade.
Oh, baby,
watered down.
I like the way you move.
And washed up. But use an Epson All-in-One, and you'll get something entirely different.
What's he talking about?
I'm talking about this.
Oh, baby, baby, I like the way you move.
You see, with Epson's exclusive DuraBrite inks, you'll get pictures that resist damage from water. So even when wet, they're a hard act to follow.
I could have done that.
Right. For more information about brilliance that lasts, visit Epson.com.
See the full line of DuraBrite products, including the Epson Stylus CX5400 and 6400 all-in-ones with water-resistant ink starting at $129 after a $20 mail-in rebate at OfficeMax.
Wham's Bob Matthews.
Malarkey said he thinks he can win with Drew Bledsoe at quarterback.
Weeknight, 6 till 8.
Well, that's going to be a challenge.
On the Sports Leader, News Radio 1180 WHAM. Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve is here every Saturday from 12:20 till 2 to answer any and all computer and computer-related questions. Now, back to Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
He is so rarely wrong. You are back with Nick Francesco.
Dave Enright.
Steve Ray.
And Rob Linton. And you are indeed listening to Soundbites. It's uncanny. That guy just rarely, if ever, gets it wrong. It must be wonderful to be so right so often. Our next caller, Bob, from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I got a question on that worm that's going around right now.
Yeah.
I had a bunch of, replies saying that, from my email saying that, you know, these messages didn't go through.
Yeah.
Is that part of it? Like,
yeah, what happens is, one way that this thing works is if it can find your, if it can find, let's say it gets installed on your machine. It wasn't on your machine, by the way, but let's say it gets installed on your machine. It looks to see if it can find your address book. So particularly if you're using Internet Explorer, it's pretty easy to find it, or Outlook Express, rather. And it then grabs an address out of there at random to be the one that it spoofs as sending the mail from. So when the replies come back, you get them, not the person with the virus.
Okay, that's the question, because it was coming to my domain name, but not my address. And if you get my domain name and you put Bill at whatever,
right?
I'll always get it.
Right, so Bill, Fred,
yeah,
Nancy.
It was coming all these
right.
things at my domain name saying, but the funny thing was it was coming, and I saw another address from like a company that I know with that is in an organization with me, but I've never got an email from.
Right.
And so, of course, I'm thinking, boy, I must have sent something. So I open up the little the clipboard, and so I thought today, and I've been traveling, and I didn't really hear about the worm. So today I'm watching it on the news. So my virus is up to date and everything. So I ran a scan, and it didn't find anything. Would it find something?
Well, it depends on what you got sent, and it depends on whether or not your antivirus software killed it before you opened it.
Or your ISP might have even killed it.
Yeah,
my
a lot of ISP
caught
killed.
One. Yeah, one yeah. said, you know, this has been rejected because we caught a virus on this email.
Right.
But when I went to my virus information. I clicked on the virus to see what kind of characteristics it had.
Right.
And that's when I said, oh, geez, I think I caught it or something, maybe. Anyway,
yeah, someone you know has the virus, and it picked
yes,
you
obviously.
To send them out as, yeah.
But I'm just wondering, since I opened up those clipboards, did I get it?
It's unlikely, but I would suggest you run the Security Tango.
Okay.
Soundbites.org/tango.php.
Okay.
And run that and, you know, run all the software you find there that it talks about. And if you do have it, they actually clean it out.
Okay, and then the last thing I had is when I go on to the Internet for my virus, it tells me how to remove it. Then it tells me to pick up two, to go to Exact, I guess it's called, or something.
Where?
Well, it's on my virus. It tells me how to remove it. So I go into this file to download the file to read how to remove this.
Yeah.
And I, on the one of them, it doesn't find. The other one, it open, when I finally unzip it, when I open it up, it's just a bunch of numbers, like, you know, 12 lines of numbers.
Yeah, that would be binary code.
Well, how what would that do for me?
Well, it's theoretically, a program is supposed to run.
Oh, that program was running, you mean?
Yeah. Generally, when you download a fix, it's a program that you run. Where did you get this fix from?
From what is it, McAfee?
Yeah, and then it's safe. Go ahead and run it.
Yeah, but I ran it, but I thought, okay, if it just gave me an icon.
Yeah.
And it was, and then I ran it, I guess, and I opened it up, and it gave me all these, like you said, the code.
Yeah, you opened it instead of running it.
Well, how did you open it?
It just, I clicked on it, and it says, you know, did you want to unzip this?
Yeah.
And I said yes, and then it said, when you're done unzipping, it's going to give you an icon.
Yeah.
And I got the icon. I clicked on the icon, and it opened it up to a clipboard that just had all that code on it.
You've got something wrong on your computer, then.
Something set up with a bad
file association. Yeah. It should have been an EXE file that should have executed. And
could it be a zip file?
Well, it's
it could
after
be the
zip
file didn't work correctly.
Yeah.
It could have been a corrupted download.
Okay.
I would suggest downloading it again. Try it a second time with a completely clean. Throw away the old one and every file you got out of it and try it again.
Okay, and can I find your, what was that software, the Tango what?
Well, it's at soundbites.org. If you scroll down on the front page,
yep.
You'll see the Security Tango is listed.
Oh, okay.
In a big box on the right there.
Gotcha.
Called FAQs and links.
So just go through the Tango. And the last question, it says it hooks up to things like Kazaa. What is Kazaa?
Kazaa is a file sharing program, at least on the surface. Underneath, it's just a way to get more spyware on your system. It won't even run without installing spyware on your system, and every time you run it, it downloads more stuff. It also is a keystroke logger. It takes everything you type at the keyboard and sends it back to the folks at Kazaa. Yeah.
Well, I didn't download Kazaa or anything. I was just reading about the characteristic of this worm that it hooks onto Kazaa.
So it can let itself out more.
Right, Kazaa is a way to steal files on the Internet, and there's millions of people doing it, so the virus gets itself into Kazaa and can spread farther, faster.
Well, how do you get Kazaa on your
It's a program.
You have to download it, right?
Right, it's a program you download and install.
A lot of people download it because it's a great way to steal music.
No, I never, so I don't have that. I don't worry about that. Okay, hey, thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
You know, if something's free and it's too good to be believed, you know the story.
And for parents, for parents listening, check your kid's computer and see what they're doing. You know, because kids playing music is real big these days. And if they've got Kazaa, then they're most likely stealing the music, and you could get in trouble. In fact, that's one
not
of
not only can you get in trouble, but also Kazaa downloads all of that spyware. If you have Kazaa on your system and you type your credit card number into your machine, guess what? The folks at Kazaa get it. I hope that scared you.
Yeah.
I hope that scared you.
One of the commercials that Pepsi is going to be running during their Super Bowl is 10 or 11 people that were arrested for sharing files on Kazaa, and now they're doing it the legal way.
Right. And they were actually arrested for sharing files on Kazaa. You might think to yourself, oh, how cute. My kid's in her or his room downloading music. They're not bothering me. Well, yeah, it's a nice babysitter, except it's A, illegal. And B, if at any point you use that machine and type in your credit card number, Kazaa owns you. Our next caller is Joe from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Joe. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I've got Windows XP Home Edition. I'm the only user on the computer, and I'm trying to add more users.
Uh-huh.
But when I do it, I go into on my main account. I go to user accounts,
right?
Control panel. I create the user, and then when I go to log off and then switch users, I type in the password, and then I get a message. I'll read it to you in a second here. It won't let me get in. It keeps telling me like I'm on a network. I get this screen that says loading your personal settings.
In other words, you go into the control panel of XP and click on users and add the users there.
I add them there.
And you add a user.
Right.
And then I give them certain rights, whether it's administrative or just regular
normal
user.
Normal user, yeah.
I've tried it both ways. I tried creating that user as administrator and as restricted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This machine wasn't part of you didn't buy it from your company.
No, I built it.
Well, it sounds like your network connection is installed incorrectly.
Even though, you mean like the DSL connection?
Yeah, that you are on a network.
No, with the DSL, I am.
Right. Your user profile is looking out on the network to find this network user.
Right.
And not a local user.
Right. So, for example, let's say you are connected using client for Microsoft Network.
Right.
If you look in Control Panel Network Properties and whatever your connection type is,
mm-hmm.
and you click on Client for Microsoft Networks, and you'll see two different types of named service providers.
Right.
There's Windows Locator and DCE Cell Directory Service.
Okay.
You want Windows Locator. DCE Cell Directory Service is a network thing.
Okay.
If you open up Internet Protocol, that probably isn't going to do you any good.
Isn't there a setting somewhere to tell it network user versus local user? One of the features of a Windows network is you could sit down to any computer, log in as you, and get your mail and your stuff.
And your desktop.
And that's set up as a network user, not a local user on that computer.
Right. It may be that you, at some point, use the network setup wizard and told it something wrong.
I noticed that when I go back into my main account and I go into Explorer and look at the folders under, there's no folder there for these other users.
Yeah, it sounds like you're creating them as network users accidentally.
So it's going somewhere other than my local.
Right, you want it to be a local user. And Nick is searching for that command.
Yeah, I'm sure it's here somewhere. I've never really had to worry about that.
Because all your users are network users.
What you want to do is right-click on my computer.
Okay.
Select properties out of the drop-down.
Okay.
Go to computer name. There's a computer name tab. There's a network ID button. That'll open up the network identification wizard.
I don't see that. Under computer name?
Are you on XP Home or XP Pro?
XP Home.
Then you can't be connected to a network.
Yeah. Well, there's the problem. XP Home can't connect to a network server, so that's the username won't be able to let you log in.
All righty then. Back to the control panel, back to network connections.
Okay.
And open up your connection.
Right.
Click on the properties button. Click on the advanced tab.
Yeah.
Down at the bottom, does it say network setup wizard?
Yeah.
There you go. Click on that kid right there. And it'll open up, and you click the next button, and...
Well, even though I don't have a home network, I still have to run this.
You do have a home network.
With a DSL single connection.
Right. That is a home network.
Right.
Oh. Right. And what it sounds like is at some point, whoever set this up originally clicked, I'm on a business network, not I'm on a home network.
I don't think I clicked.
And you have to tell it you're on a home network. And it should at that point, theoretically, turn off the business network.
It may even be that the computer is seeing an IP server and thinking it's on a business network.
Shouldn't. It shouldn't unless in some way, I don't quite know how you would set up home to do that, but.
My internet firewall wouldn't be doing it, would it?
Shouldn't be. Well, what have you got?
Norton Internet Security.
Shouldn't be.
Try turning it off and see what happens.
Yeah. We have to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
The following is a real conversation between an OnStar advisor and a subscriber. It took place on October 24th, 2003.
OnStar Center, this is Leticia. How may I help you?
Hi, Leticia. I locked my keys in my car.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, ma'am. I'll be happy to help you. Do you have your OnStar account number?
719.
OnStar can send a signal to unlock your doors in most cases.
Is the vehicle currently running?
No.
We'll call you in approximately 10 minutes.
Great. Thank you.
OnStar is available on 51 GM models, including the Hummer H2. To learn more, visit your Hummer dealer or Hummer.com.
This is Kristen.
This is Chris calling from OnStar. I'm just calling back to verify that the vehicle is unlocked.
Okay, let me check. Just a minute.
Take your time.
Yes, it is unlocked.
Okay.
Can you tell me how many calls like this you get a day?
A lot.
Okay, that makes me feel a little bit better. I'm not the only one getting my lesson in human error today. Yeah. Thank you so much. You're a lifesaver.
No problem. That's what we're here for.
OnStar. Always there. Always ready.
Sound Bites, powered by Patrick Jeep.
This portion of Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM is brought to you in part by Envision, delivering the bandwidth to make anything possible. To sign up for Envision Internet Service, call 262-2485.
Where does Rochester turn for objective financial information? To Money and More, hosted by the Partners of the Horizon Group, every Sunday morning at 7 on 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And you're listening to Sound Bites. Our next caller, Jim from Greece. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I got a couple of quickies. What's the best way to back up my Windows system? I've got 2000. I use the Windows accessory backup function to a hard drive that's hooked up through USB, and I keep appending that media. But I'm afraid that when I go to actually have to use it, it just won't work. So.
Well, a couple of things. First, I don't generally suggest that you back up the operating system itself, because if you have to do a restore, it's likely that something you backed up along the way is part of the problem that you're trying to restore.
Okay.
So if you have to do a restore, just install the operating system clean. What's important to you, because you've got the operating system and you've got all the programs you installed, what you don't have are your data. So my suggestion is that you back up all of your data. Now, if you've been keeping it all in the My Documents folder, then you can just keep dragging the My Documents folder over CD and you're on your way.
I just had that same thing happen to me this week, Jim. Literally, my machine at home, I went to boot it up. Of course, I had something important to do.
Right.
And
happens when you got a couple of days free.
Yeah. No, I get home. Which would have been down the hall, because I had to print off a document, and I go to turn on the computer, and it developed a bad sector in the hard drive.
Right.
After 2 days of trying everything between me and my tech to get it back, we finally said, wrong, this ain't going to happen, and I got to finish up last night just reloading all the software and everything else. But I was able to pull back all my documents and most of my settings because
they were backed up.
I had burnt those off to CD.
There's usually two different methodologies. A fast backup, which is just your documents, or a fast restore, which is image your entire hard drive. And you can use a program like Ghost that creates an entire image of everything.
When a hard drive crashes, that's, you know, Gates' way of saying it's time to clean up everything.
And as Nick said, you know, whatever caused the crash may have been backed up. So when you do your restore, you may not be any better off than you were.
Bad sector.
Well, the Ghost, I did Ghost as well on a hard drive, but it takes so much memory that I figured I'd try and limit it to one or the other processes.
Yeah, really, you know, you're best off, back up all the places you put your documents, which if you're using XP or something like that, is generally just My Documents.
Well, like Palm files, Palm backup and all that kind of stuff, that's in a Palm directory.
You back up the Palm directory. You also want to go in and depending on what browser you're using, you want to back up the bookmarks.html or the favorites folder.
Right.
And then you got to find your mail folder and back it up.
Back up your mail.
But the point is,
you do that once. You find all that stuff once. Then depending on what backup program you've got, you can just tell it these are the places, when I say backup, these are the places you back up.
You got a recommendation for that program?
What program do you guys use to back up? I use rsync to a server at work, so I'm not the right guy to ask.
There's a number of them out there now that you can buy, and they're like $49 that will burn up. You can schedule it. You put a blank CD in, So on your downtime, you know, or if you're not busy, you can sit there and schedule it and set up a regular schedule to burn it.
Retrospect is a nice program that gives you scripting abilities. So at, you know, at 5 o'clock every other Thursday, back up this folder.
Right.
And is that on our...
Yeah.
This is my last event here. I lost the Spectre, and it contained only part of my registry file. So I lost, you know, I couldn't even reboot that hard drive. So.
Well, backing up the registry is always a dicey proposition because the registry is always open, and you generally can't back up a file that's open. So unless you use the registry tool...
Regedit save.
Right.
Yeah.
Then that's the only way you're going to back that up. And then, again, you just tell Retrospect or whatever program you're using that backup file you just created is the one you want to pull over.
Okay. You're going to have to expand your program in hours. It's not enough hours to get all this stuff down.
You're asking the wrong people. Talk to the folks at WAM, and if enough of you ask for it, I'm
maybe
sure they'll be...
I had a terrible event happen today. I had a fatal error on my phone. So I had to reboot my cell phone. I think we're going in the wrong direction, gentlemen.
You know, they're saying that it's just things are getting harder, not easier.
Everything is trying to do so much and add so many neat new features that, you know, things don't work. You know, we've been talking about the 20th anniversary of the Mac. And 20 years ago, the Mac came in a box. It had a 400K floppy drive. Everything worked fine. It rarely ever crashed. Now we want to get on the internet, we want to do email, we want to do instant messaging, we want to have video phones, we want to do all this stuff, and it's making it more complex.
Yeah.
And Nick, I had a burning question. I see you at our favorite restaurant often. Are you adverse to being cornered and say hello to, or are you like a...
Hello is good.
A celebrity.
I'd like to interrupt your lunch and ask you five computer questions is not good.
Yeah, that's I
but hello is always good.
Buy a cup of coffee and get one question answered.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That's very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. And I have to admit that you know, I love it when people acknowledge that we that they know who we are.
I got nailed at Home Depot.
Man, it is. I can't go. I was in a video store the other day and some guy followed me around asking me questions. I finally left the store. I had no videos. I had no good time. I was annoyed. I mean, I don't mind answering people's computer questions, but I do also have a private life.
Yeah.
And so it was an interesting. I answered a couple of the guy's questions, but he just kept asking and asking and asking. And at some point, I'd like to actually buy a video and
call
home
Saturday.
To my family.
Call Saturday.
Exactly. Our next caller, Joe from Buffalo, New York. Welcome, Joe. What do you know?
Howdy. So one hint to that previous caller that had the zip file that he downloaded.
Yeah.
You might need to download again. Be sure to go into your temporary internet files, clear that out to make sure you're getting a fresh copy from whatever website.
That's an excellent point.
Yep. Sometimes your browser sees it there already and says, oh, I've already got it. I don't need to bother downloading it again.
Right. And you might even go so far as to making sure your proxy settings are turned off if you have a proxy.
Yep.
Now, when I bought the computer I'm now using, the manufacturer said, well, you don't want to mix parallel ATA and serial ATA. We don't support that. It's based on the Intel ICH5 chipset. At least that's what Linux says when it's booting up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering if you had any insight into mixing parallel and serial ATA on the same computer.
Never mix. Never worry.
Yeah.
Well, it shouldn't be any problem, but the fact they said they don't support it means they won't answer your questions. It doesn't mean it won't work.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
in fact,
well,
the new PowerMac G5 has got a serial ATA hard bus and a parallel hard drive bus and a parallel ATA optical drive bus.
But they're two separate buses.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You don't put the same drives on the same...
Right, yeah, you wouldn't mix the drive on the same bus.
Right.
Well, no.
But there are... adapters that are coming out now to let you put a serial drive on or a parallel drive on a serial bus.
Yeah, I don't necessarily want to do that. I just want, if I add a second hard drive, could I get it a SATA drive and hook it up, and would it actually work?
No, you'd have to have a serial ATA controller card.
Well, the ICH5 does have both the parallel
machine.
And the serial in it.
Right.
Yeah.
If you've got both controllers on your machine, you should be able to put two separate drives on. Make sure they're on different chains.
Well, that's what I was wondering. It's got two SATA connectors and two of the normal IDEs. And could I possibly have, like, six hard drives?
No, four. The IDE allows two drives per chain, the old parallel style. The new serial ATA is one drive per chain.
Yeah, that's
right.
But
that one drive gets 150 megabyte per second peak throughput.
Yeah, so you'd have the two chains. That would be four drives.
Oh, right.
But I suspect that, I suspect that what happens is you have to pick serial or parallel for each chain. It turns off the other chain.
Oh, that would be something.
And that depends entirely on the configuration of the motherboard, if it's one or the other, or it lets you do both.
Right. And that you can only know by looking in your BIOS.
Yeah, okay.
Or how deep the motherboard manual goes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. How deep you can understand it, more likely.
Well, I'm fairly good with that. It's a Dell, and they apparently use Intel mainboard. Yeah. So I don't know. I guess it would be an expensive thing to just try out. Huh?
Well, exactly. That's the problem. See if you can do a return on the drive before you do it. We got to move on. I'm sorry, Joe. Thanks. Our next caller is Doug from Victor, New York. Welcome, Doug. What's your question?
I have a Dell laptop, Inspiron 8200, recently got Roadrunner. They sent me a Toshiba PCX2200 cable modem. I can get internet access through the RJ45 connector that's on the cable modem to the RJ45 on my laptop, but I can't do the USB.
You don't want to.
Yeah, you don't want to.
Ethernet is significantly better than USB.
Yes. And faster.
And the problem is likely you need the USB driver for your computer.
What operating system are you running?
XP Pro.
Yeah, it should work, but you know what? You don't want it to. I'm sorry, but these guys are right. USB will be significantly slower, and you'd rather have the full speed of your system running that RJ45.
Okay.
Okie doke.
Well, I guess I would like to know how to get it if I wanted to do it that way.
You'd have to find the drivers for that specific cable modem for that specific USB connector in your specific OS.
They are actually, Time Warner gave me the CD for it.
And it doesn't work?
And it's not working. I can see.
Okay,
cable
listen, I'm sorry, we're out of time, but we'll research this. Email us. At the Soundbites website, and we'll research this and get you back an answer. I apologize. I hate to cut anybody off, but we have got to go. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, who's keeping us on the straight and narrow today. I'm Nick Francesco. We will be back here next week, I think a little late, but it'll be on the website on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
I'm here at Sam's Club, where small business owners are stocking up for their Super Bowl festivities at great warehouse club savings. There goes a restaurant owner with a cart full of appetizers, fresh meat, and paper goods. There's a caterer with meat and cheese trays and lots of beverages. And there's someone with a cool big screen TV. Whether for business or home, everything you need for a successful Super Bowl celebration is at Sam's Club. We are in business for small business. Visit us at samsclub.com to print your own one-day guest pass or find a club near you. Avoid a 10% service fee if you become a Sam's Club member today.